everybody. It's the Hour of Power here on the Lori and Julia program. It's our last hour today on Thursday, April 18th. We've got a pair of Nicki Minaj tickets we'll be giving away later in this hour for her upcoming concert at the Target Center on Saturday, April 27th. Grant, I have a question for you about the Timberwolves. When does their playoff run start?
Starts Saturday at 2:30 p.m. our time. So you can watch
this
that
Saturday.
This Saturday. I believe it's going to be on Bally's. And if you don't have Bally's, you can also catch it. I think it's like TBS, TNT, one of those like main networks. But 2:30 Saturday afternoon.
And they're playing the Suns.
The Suns, yes. The unfortunate draw, the one team that they do not know how to match up against. They lost all regular season games to them, and this was the best season we've ever had as a team. So high hopes, but the worst draw you could get for a playoff matchup to date. But that's what I got for you.
Do the people think the Suns are going to take it all?
Not at all, no, but they think that they could beat the Timberwolves in the first round, which is disappointing for fans of the Timberwolves right now because it's been such a fun year. But that doesn't mean anything. The playoffs are a different story.
It's a whole new game.
It's a whole new game, but it's the one draw, the one team, even though they're seated way below us, it's the one team we can't beat. We lost all regular season games to them. So it'll be a fun series, though, I think. I think it's going to be interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's time for Hollywood Chat, Lorraine.
Yeah, we got to talk about this Quentin Tarantino thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is everywhere in Hollywood. And I really think that Quentin Tarantino has changed his mind and he doesn't want to be done at 10 movies.
I agree. It's such a big thing to say, and he's still so young.
Yeah, he is. I mean, when you look at Scorsese at 81, Ridley Scott at 84, I mean, these guys are still making great movies and stuff. But for more than a year, Quentin Tarantino has been writing and working on what he said would be his 10th and final film. And it was supposed to be The Movie Critic. And at first, we thought it was going to be about the Pauline Kael or someone similar, the first woman movie critic at the New York Times. And then Quentin cast Brad Pitt in the lead role. And we were like, oh, wow, okay. And he had said... it wasn't going to be about what everyone speculated. And it's the biggest surprise to Tarantino fans because now he's saying he scrapped this movie as his final movie because I don't know if you remember this story, but back when before The Hateful Eight came out, which is probably the only Quentin Tarantino's movie that I really hated. Hated that movie. Mm-hmm. Did you like it?
I didn't even see it, Lori. I couldn't even see it. Okay, I'm not a huge fan.
Okay, but Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown with Pam Grier, mm-hmm. Kill Bill, Death Proof, Inglourious Bastards, Django Unchained, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. I saw that one.
Yeah, and The Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
So The Hateful Eight, the reason why he almost scrapped that movie is because he gave a small group of actors his script, and one of them shared it with their rep.
Oh, geez.
And soon it had been copied, and the rough draft was shared all over town and online. He felt betrayed. He eventually returned to the project after staging a reading for charity and drawing raves for it. And as for The Movie Critic, Tarantino has simply had a change of heart, according to Deadline, and he's not going to move forward with the project, and he's going back to the drawing board to figure out what his next movie is. And that had so much momentum as far as news after the SAG after strike ended, and then he's cast Brad Pitt, which would be the third time he worked with Brad Pitt, because Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Inglourious Bastards. And he said at the time that the movie was set in 1977, and it's based on a guy who really lived, was never really famous, and used to write movie reviews for a porno rag.
Oh, weird.
And the inspiration goes back to a real job that Tarantino had as a kid, which was loading porn magazines into a vending machine and emptying the quarters out of the dispenser.
Okay. And this is where it started, Grant.
He said, but there was this porno rag that had a really interesting movie page, and there was one critic that Tarantino liked who were snarky and smart.
Yes.
And a second string critic, if you will. And anyway, we'll see what happens with this. But I think he he can't just say he changed his mind and he's not sure this is going to be his last film.
Right. And again, you know, people are saying, you know, if Christopher Nolan stopped, he would have never made Oppenheimer. Right. What you say about, you know,
Scorsese and Ridley Scott.
You can't stop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's changed his mind.
I think so, too. And I think he's passionate about movies. And mm-hmm. when you stick, it's like people say, I'm never going to have plastic surgery. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to work. You know, people always, you get to change your mind.
Yeah. And supposedly Samuel Jackson was the key person to convincing Quentin Tarantino not to shelf The Hateful Eight because he loved his part in it.
Oh, really?
And
did Quentin Tarantino like the finished product?
Well, yeah, he just was never going to make it because the script leaked.
Got it.
That's why. Yeah. And I know a lot of people who liked that movie. I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah. It wasn't my favorite.
I never even saw it. Grant, did you see it?
Nope.
I'm not a huge, I mean,
He hasn't made that many movies. He's only made 9 movies.
I know. I've seen maybe 3.
Well, Reservation Dogs.
I saw that.
Reservoir Dogs. I mean, yeah, Kill Bill.
I saw that one. Yeah. And I saw Once Upon a Time
Fiction.
In Hollywood.
Pulp Fiction.
Inglourious
Bastards, too, was good.
I didn't see that.
You got to be in a mood for his movies. Yeah. That's why I always say, like, I love him as a director. I think he's creatively amazing, but, you know, you just, he's the type of, it's not like, hey, I want to put this on and sit back and relax. Yeah. You know?
That, you know who did a good imitation of Quentin Tarantino was Norm MacDonald.
Oh, yeah.
He really did. He could, because Quentin Tarantino has such a distinctive
forehead? No, excuse me.
Way of talking.
Yes.
He talks really fast and he's, you know, da, 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 but
a little manic,
anyway,
yeah.
So no role for Brad, but maybe it'll be in the movie that he's writing. People are dying about Hitman and the full trailer is out. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but Grant posted the trailer. But what people who have seen Hitman are really bummed out, including Roger Freeman, is it's only going to be in theaters 2 weeks.
And really?
They sold it to Netflix. Glenn Powell and Richard Linkletter, which was a business decision. But according to Roger Friedman and several other sources, The Hitman should be seen in a movie theater with other people. It's one of those kinds of movies.
Well, then we go to it.
Yeah.
Then we go to it while it's in theaters.
Well, it's only two weeks, but just... when you watch the trailer, you're just like, holy cow, this guy, Glenn Powell, has charisma that oozes off of the screen.
And we
really
met him,
does.
We met him that very first time with his parents, Grant, and his sister.
I know. We danced with him and
his
brother.
We did. We met him when it was very, very young.
So we'll have to, it opens Memorial weekend, May 24th, and it'll be in theaters for 2 weeks, and then it'll be on Netflix. I don't think when they sold it, they had the success of Anyone But You.
Yeah.
They sold it after the Toronto Film Festival, and Anyone But You became this huge hit on a $25 million budget, you know, made $250 million. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, maybe they're bumming a little bit about that. Just based on the trailer, I was like, damn, this is going to be a good movie.
It's going to be a good movie.
It is. And again, Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, fantastic movies. Some of the reviews have been lukewarm, Julia. I did not like that.
I know.
But it's really quite good.
I'm going to say
I think it's one of his...
Who's got time?
Yeah, well, you got the weekend coming.
I've got, you know... We've got a lot of time coming up, Lori.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of time. All right, Cheryl Burke.
Mm-hmm. She was on her own podcast?
Yeah, she was on her own thing, and she was Dancing with the Stars. You know, she was on it forever.
She was our favorite.
I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up marrying Matthew Lawrence.
Yeah.
And a Boy Meets World alum. And she says that here's what she learned. She was on Amy and TJ's podcast, Lori.
Oh, no.
About love. Uh-huh. Here's what she learned is I tried, you know, I learned you can't buy love. I think that's an interesting thing to learn at her age. I tried to not obviously, but I didn't buy my ex-husband, but like I definitely would say I was the breadwinner. Like, I supported us, and I don't think it's black and white. And then she talks about, you know, her marriage to him and everything and bringing home the finances. She said it's like it made me feel good, but then it didn't necessarily make the relationship good feel good because I was making more money than him. And Amy Robach, host Amy Robach,
yeah,
chimed in to share
who made more money than TJ.
Chimed in to share her own experience in past relationships, and she said, I had a false sense of security, but it's also emasculating, and so it creates an awful dynamic.
Okay, that is just BS.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that is BS where we are now? I'm sorry. I've made more money than all of my husbands, all three of them, more than my boyfriends. It never impacted one single relationship.
It doesn't need to.
It doesn't need to at all. Unless the other person is woefully insecure. I mean, I just think now in this, it's like good for you. Everybody, like, I don't know. I don't believe that. And of course, I can see Amy piping up on this. She must have come back from her 4-day trip.
Well, I'm thinking that she...
When TJ misses her so much, he misses her when she goes to the bathroom.
I know.
Oh, honestly,
so much.
I did like that Cheryl did say they asked her, why weren't you on the Len Goodman tribute show night?
And what did she say?
She said, sex, lies, and spray tan, my podcast.
Oh, because she dishes too much dish? Was that it?
Yeah, but for such a long, ABC did her dirty.
All right, there we go. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we are going to come back with the Dirt Alert.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
All right, Grant. What kind of dirt do we have on?
Let's start out with a little Law and Order dirt. This is a really fun, but, you know, good story, interesting story. But Mariska Hargitay, she's been on Law and Order SVU for a long time. You know her. She plays Olivia Benson. Fantastic. We love her to death. But this is really crazy. So she was filming a scene with her partner Ice-T from the show in what was a park in, I believe it was in New York. I can't get Fort Tyron Park. Mm-hmm. It's a playground. And while she was playing, while they were filming this scene, a young girl came up to her because she saw her cop badge, which was obviously a fake cop badge because she's not a real cop.
Right.
And she came up to her asking for help because she had lost her mom.
Oh, dear.
So within they immediately stopped filming the scene. And within about 20 to 25 minutes, Mariska and a few of the other cast members and production crew eventually located the mother and brought the mom and the daughter together. It was like a real life moment for
that's
her.
Cool. That's really kind of cool.
Yeah, that's just it's kind of a unique story. But as we know, 25 seasons of Law and Order SVU reigns as the longest running primetime live action series in American TV history. Great show, but that's just cool to see it happening in real life there with Mariska. So I just wanted to bring that one to start this one out with. We may have mentioned this earlier, and forgive me if we have. It's been a little busy day for me here, but Netflix, did you guys talk about how they're going to be ending The Witcher with season 5?
No.
Yeah.
Is it because we saw our first look at Liam Hemsworth look like the raggedy ass cousin of Geralt of Rivia?
That's it. They released a photo of that very photo, and people are not digging it. But they are currently in production of season 4, and they released the statement saying that they will be ending The Witcher with season 5, which I don't even know if I'm going to continue with it that far because we can't have. How can Henry Cavill not be playing then that role? I mean, that was his title role.
He was supposed to. The whole reason for not having him was kind of BS-y, wasn't it?
Well, he was going to do a movie.
He was Superman. And then he got screwed by James Gunn when James Gunn came over to DC and took it over. And then he completely tore apart everything. He dropped Superwoman. He dropped Superman, which he had literally done a scene, Henry Cavill, in the superhero movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, mm-hmm. Black Adam, I believe it was. Yeah. And at the end of it, there was a special scene where he's like, you see him come back. And then 2 days later, he put on his Instagram, hey, everybody, I'm coming back as Superman. Then 2 weeks after mm-hmm. that, DC gets changed up with its leadership. Everything shot. So he lost. I think you're right, Lori and Julie. I think he left that role for what was going to be a Superman reboot franchise. Then he got screwed.
Yep.
And I mean, he's so good in the Guy Ritchie movie. They might just rethink James Bond and say, give it to that guy.
Well, and that's another thing I wanted to bring up. Did you guys talk about this AI trailer that's out there right now for James Bond starring Henry Cavill? So it came out about 4 days ago, mm-hmm. and it's an AI generated. So definitely know that it's not him in there.
Right.
But it has garnered over 2.5 million views on YouTube and people clamoring to have Henry Cavill play, you know, 007. And in this trailer, he's playing 007 alongside Margot Robbie as Bond Girl, which would be absolutely fantastic. Yes. But it's kind of one of those crazy things with AI right now. But he basically said, I may be too old now to play that role. He's come out to say that since this fake, let's be honest, fake trailer has come out. So I don't know. Did you guys get a chance to see that trailer at all?
I didn't, but Lori did.
I did. And there was something off about it, but yet at the same time, I could see how this AI stuff scares me.
It's creepy, right?
It scares me because I don't like Pootie. And I don't know what Putin is going to do. And I don't think he has any good plans for America. So I just get nervous about the whole thing.
Yeah, I can see that. AI is very powerful, like you said. And you can control voices. You control faces. You could do deep fakes. There's so many things now that we can be tricked with on so many different levels that you're right. I think something needs to be done about this. But also, we've got to mention, because we've been talking about Taylor Swift. Big deal today, you know, tonight, maybe 11 o'clock tonight, I think, possibly.
Possibly.
The new album is coming out. Lori, can you say the album title? Because
I just call it TTPD.
TTPD.
The Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but this is interesting.
Not to be confused with TPD,
right?
Channel 2,
right?
Okay, but the Eras Tour being very, very popular. Well, there's a big problem in the UK right now with Swifties being duped out of fake tickets. There's more than 600 customers have reported being scammed so far, mm-mm. losing on average $414 each on a ticket, and in some cases, more than $1,200 a ticket, according to Lloyd Bank. This is a financial institution in the UK. But they're saying right now that fraudsters have gotten over 1 million pounds, mm-hmm. I believe that is. Yep. I don't know what that translates
1.3
into.
1.3 million,
yeah,
maybe.
In money in fake ticket sales for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour in London. And ticket sales are now completely sold out when it comes to the regular market, so now people are going to be going even more in depth with the secondhand market, and they're warning people to watch out for this.
Yeah,
situation.
She's playing Wembley Stadium.
Oh my gosh.
On June 21, 22, and 23.
Okay.
And then in August, she's playing August 15, 16, 17, 19, and 20. She's sold out Wembley Stadium eight nights. And probably could. And
Michael Jackson was going to do eight in a row or something.
He was going to do 50. 50, nights.
Yeah.
50.
But 50. Wow. And anyway, so the tour Eras wraps up August 20th in London.
So that's the last leg of the tour.
The last leg of the tour, Until so then she goes and does the fall portion, but it's the last leg of the Europe.
The break, before the break. Wow. So they're warning people out there. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, anywhere. I would say that to anybody, Craigslist.
For anything.
Anything. Unless it's like, you know, Ticketmaster, which I hate to say, or, you know, a StubHub.
Yep.
Be wary. Be very wary. So.
All right. So here's the deal. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to see Nicki Minaj on her world tour called Pink. At Target Center on Saturday, April 27th. Give us a buzz at 651-641-1071.
Nice.
We've just got a little multiple choice thing today, and the winner will get a pair of tickets. And, if they can correctly, I said the winner. Same thing.
Yeah. But if they have to, there's a game. They got to correctly pick.
Answer the question.
Yeah.
We, all of us are
We're going to make
like,
you work.
We're all like one eyelash short of opening our eyes all the way today. Here's the deal. When we first fell in love with Sophia, Rose, and Grace, mm-hmm. They were on Ellen's show, and they sang the Super Bass song, and these little girls mm-hmm. that were cousins, and we just fell in love with them, and we had them in the soundbar forever. I like pink, and I like fluffy dresses.
Right.
I mean, and they were so great. And then these two cousins went on to do the red carpet for Ellen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Nicki Minaj was so darling to them, and she came on Ellen when they sang her song.
I do wonder how, like, did the parents just give them different lyrics, slightly different lyrics than the real ones?
Than the real ones?
The real lyrics?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty...
It's pretty racy. I'm sure they did. But yeah. They were so darling. And now today, an update is the oldest one, Grace was the cousin, Sophia Rose. She's got a baby.
Yeah, she's like only 20.
Yeah, she has a baby. She was an influencer and tried to have a singing career. And
I
feel
real bad for her.
I felt bad for her, too, because mm-hmm. she had, yeah.
I just feel bad for anyone who gets, like, famous at the age of, yeah. like, 8. It's like, I don't know. It seems like 50-50 whether or not you can, how do you
manage it?
Yeah.
Like Donny Osmond, if you ask me.
Yeah, well.
Donny did a great job. But anyway, yeah, she does. She does, but... they were so darn cute.
Mm-hmm.
We were obsessed with them for a little while.
Yeah.
Like years.
Mm-hmm.
So Grant is still getting that.
I got them ready to
all
go.
All right. Who are our contestants, honey?
Well, Raquel has the hottest fingers in town.
She does. She was number one 2 days ago.
Yes. So Raquel is ready for us. We've got Jackie and Martha, because this is a multiple choice. We've got three lined up. Raquel, how you doing?
I'm great.
Hi, Raquel. You do have fast fingers.
I've been waiting.
Okay.
Here we go.
Are you a huge fan of Nicki Minaj?
I love hip hop and rap. I can't say that I am like a hardcore Barb, but I want to go.
You would go and it would be fun.
That's right. And I'm going to love it.
All right. You are. All right. So here you go. Grant's going to ask you a question. Choose the right answer and you're going.
All right. So I need you. I'm going to give you three options. You need to name Loria and Julia's nipple enhancing product. What was the name? A, body points. B, body perks. Or C, nipping out.
Okay. This is so easy. I know it was on Sex in the City. Mm-hmm. Body
perks. What
was that?
Body perks.
Hey! Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
So there you go.
We did do an easy one, but we didn't know. You never know.
You never know if people are going to think it's easy or not.
You have no idea. And like on Monday, man, I was like, I heard the accidental sports talk. And I was like, it's too early for cabin and pontooning.
Oh, that's the one you lost, right?
Yeah.
Right, you did. Oh, gosh, Raquel. Well, look at it. And now you're a winner, winner chicken dinner.
That's right. I'm so excited.
Who are you going to take?
That is to be determined, but I have three kids. My husband can watch them, and I'm going out.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
You're going with the friend who's most Nicki Minaj worthy.
Yes. And who also, you know, doesn't have children.
Yes, and can drive, and, you know, we'll pick you up and take you home.
Yeah.
There's just a couple little things about it. Well, thank you for listening, honey, and I'm glad you won.
Yes, we love you, ladies. Thank you so much.
All right, Grant, we'll get the information. We are going to have one more pair to give away tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we've got a full show.
Yeah. One question. I know you've probably got other things to go, but quickly, who was the first to grab the shampoo bottles? The top.
Lori was on a girls' weekend with her other girlfriends.
With my other girl. It was my girlfriend, Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Who came out of the bathroom on her second night there, and she's like, girls, what about if we wear these in our tops so we get a little bit more attention tonight? And I'm like, oh my God, those look amazing. And then I went and got the conditioner tops and put them in my top, and we were the only two to go out, but we got all six of our ladies into the Mandalay Rum Jungle nightclub that had just opened for nothing.
Oh.
And so then she comes back, and you didn't even mention it right away, and somehow we were out at some party. I feel like it was an outdoor party mm-hmm. or something, and you take this thing out of your personal, you're like, Jules.
Look at these things.
They're nipple enhancer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're so sick.
Uh-huh.
That was my Grant, literally.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Raquel, that you have to listen, but I really was like that. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
And I told you, you wouldn't believe what happened to us in Vegas. Everywhere we went, we were treated like rock
stars. And I still was like, and? So then it ends up maybe
3 months
three
later.
3 months later.
Because we were both still working for Sun Country.
Yeah. You and my my little sister and the three of us were going out to Vegas, but we were there a day before you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was right when Ralph Lauren came out with those one pieces that were solid one color with white trim on them. And I had the blue one mm-hmm. and the blue skirt. And I'm wearing it gambling
yeah.
at the Mandalay Bay.
Yes.
And we put them in and I'm like, you know, Kath, these are something.
I mean,
and so we
were dazzled by
we were just dying. And then we'd take them out like, I'll raise you a nipple. I mean, we were just sick. And then I like was like, OK, let's do something here. But my sister had never been to Vegas before and she was winning grand
mm-hmm.
and she won big time. And we said, well, you know what happens the first time you go to Vegas and you win, you have to split your money with everybody who's with you.
And she's like, OK. And
I mean, she won like $400 and we're like, we're taking it down. It was just like crazy.
I love that. So I just sent you to a picture that from when I was in Florida this year. I thought I sent it to you, but I guess I didn't. I had two bottle caps from some small Fireball whiskey shots.
Oh, I see it, Grant.
And I put them in my shirt in honor of you guys when I was down in Florida.
Those are pretty man nipply.
Yeah, and I did that for you guys, but I was drinking a little bit. Yeah. I forgot to send it to you guys.
So okay, that's so funny.
I was thinking about that shampoo moment, and I'm like, I got to do this for you.
So. Oh, Julia didn't take those bottle caps out of her top all weekend, and on the original weekend, I mean,
it was amazing. They looked so real.
They looked so good, and they looked so real. And we kept, I mean, when Shirley and I decided we were going to check out this rum mm-hmm. jungle, and we're walking through the casino we were staying at the Treasure Island, and this guy by the limo, he's like, wherever you ladies are going, I'm taking you complimentary. You just look so fantastic. And while I've never had anyone be bedazzled by my chest before. And I looked so fantastic. It was a new feeling. And I just thought, oh man, if I did have big boobs, even for a day, I would be dangerous. I don't know what would happen to me.
It would
be danger.
Because it's so funny because I really blew you off. Like, you're so sick.
Yeah.
But I really did, Grant.
By the end of the weekend, even my girlfriend, who was so proud of her naturally nipply 36,
they're
you know,
fun.
C's. She wore them.
It was fun.
And we're leaving the Bellagio, and this incredibly handsome man is walking towards us, and Lori's the only one who's wearing them that night. Now, my nipples are chapped from wearing the bottle caps. Okay? Sherlyn is, you know, she's just like, yeah, mine hurt too. We're like, Lori, you wear these tonight. And we're leaving, and this guy walks past us, very handsome, and Lori was the oldest in the group. She was mm-hmm. like 45.
This is like 22 years ago.
And he takes her hand and kisses it and says to her, for you, darling, the rest of my life, my paycheck for you.
Oh. I mean, it was amazing.
And she just kind of let him kiss her hand, and it floated away, and we kept walking forward, and she looked over at me, and she said, all right, maybe you're onto something. Nobody has given me that kind of compliment in a long time.
Oh, that's so funny.
So okay. I knew it.
I know you did. All right, we're going to take our last break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Lori and Julia on My Talk 107.1. Thanks for hanging out with us today. What a big, 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 big day. Everyone's ready to stay up all night and listen to T-Swift.
That's right.
Hopefully. Not me. I'm going to wait until tomorrow morning.
I am too.
We'll let all of them dissect through for us and then we'll go through.
I know it. Yeah. I've been sleeping like a baby lately. My word.
That's unusual
that's good,
for you.
Yeah.
I know it. I think, I know. I know.
That's good.
It's all right. I want to get to this one story.
All right.
We
hurry
leave,
up. It was a study. We're running out of time.
It was a thing that was done. And, you know, to wear or not wear underwear to bed was the question.
Oh answered
okay.
easy.
Okay, well, yeah. To each his own, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but they wanted to study, was there any benefit one way or the other to wearing or not wearing underwear
better
to
sleep,
bed?
Not worrying about critters?
Well, the consensus from the study, and it was two different, one doctor who wrote The Penis Book, A Doctor's Complete Guide to the Penis, and Dr. Sherry Ross, an OBGYN, The Definitive Guide to Women's Intimate Health, said, really, it just comes down to what feels right for your body. There's no difference whatsoever for anybody. Mm. However, However, men, when they sleep naked, when they go commando due to compression,
that occurs
from their thighs or the mattress, you know, they get testicle thigh.
They squish,
they stick to the legs.
Yeah.
So for many men, it's a matter of comfort.
Yes.
Sleeping more comfortably in underwear helps that.
Yes.
Everything. The laundry of it all, by wearing underwear, you also are keeping your sheets and stuff cleaner.
Yes, you are.
Agree with that. 1,000.
Yeah. And if you're sleeping in underwear, really the main thing is make sure they're a clean pair.
Yeah.
And maybe not your sweaty workout pair or whatever, like that wouldn't be good.
No.
And if you do sweat a lot in your sleep and you're prone to like skin conditions, then go ahead and sleep without your underwear if, you know, your balls aren't bothering you or maybe you don't have them. Are we talking,
was this only done for men?
No, men and women.
Let me just drop one tip.
Yeah.
No pun intended. For men, I wear mesh shorts with the no underwear because it still keeps the sheets clean and, you know, clean sheets. But then you don't have that bunched, snug feeling where you're a little more loose, a little more relaxed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I find that a nice, clean pair of mesh shorts with no underwear is the best way to meet the best of both worlds there.
And for women, the doctor said, listen, wearing underwear to bed if you're traveling, because sometimes hotels might use a detergent that
might be I would refuse to not wear underwear in a bed. Let's do it, let's get them back on, you know, whatever we're doing.
I need to end up with them on
same. I'll just sit there and think, what's gonna go in me?
right
It's just the worst feeling.
I can't imagine, but more people sleep in their underwear than not. But it really, there's no one, it's a personal preference, it's so dark. I'm glad that has been
Thank you for sharing that.
Okay,
with that said, Lori, I've got a little thing, a kind of a little funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Italy, Germany, and England call syphilis the French disease. Russia calls it the Polish disease.
Okay.
Poland calls it the German disease.
Oh, boy.
Denmark and Portugal call it the Spanish disease. And Turkey calls it the Christian disease.
All the signs pointing, they brought that to this country.
Every country that you don't like. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tonight, I think we mentioned it already, but Zendaya is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel. Nice.
No, you did not.
And she did a cover for Vogue again or something, that she did a tribute to the Williams sisters when Serena and Venus had the white bead braids in their hair when they were younger.
Oh, yeah.
So she has a new photo that looks cool. She's so beautiful.
We also posted all of Zendaya's tennis-themed Challenger red carpet looks throughout these last two months.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I know.
What she's worn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Seth Meyer has Joe McHale. Stephen Colbert has Sandra Oh. And I watched After Midnight.
Is Seth Meyer's a repeat?
You know what it is? You're right, Lori, because he is on break this week, but what he did say is that after he does the drunk days with the people, you know, he does this drunk, what is it called? Day drinking
with Seth.
But he does it and they drink quite a bit.
Oh.
He says he gets a really bad hangover.
Yeah.
After.
He last did it with Kristen Stewart a couple weeks ago.
Cute. I remember reading about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was cute. And John Lovett is on After Midnight.
Oh, I love him.
He's funny.
Classic old comedian.
And then as far as the new things happening on the Tuberuski tonight, Orlando Bloom's new show.
What is that about? I saw it.
Born to the Edge.
To the Edge.
He's doing some really hardcore things that is pushing himself. He was kind of in a like an emotional drought and needed to challenge himself because he didn't have any work.
Okay.
And he's just doing
daring things.
Daring things on Peacock.
I'm going to pass.
Conan O'Brien must go. Conan O'Brien. Does
that start?
Yep.
Oh, I got a DVR then.
And So Help Me Todd needs people to watch it because it's on the...
Is it on the bubble?
It's on the bubble.
Yes. Yes. That one's on the bubble because that Elsbeth got renewed.
Elsbeth got renewed
for season two. Yep. But then I think that they were saying that NCIS Hawaii, So Help Me Todd, and CSI Vegas are all pending renewal / cancellation news coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
As is Law and Order Organized Crime.
Yes, we need people to watch Law and Order.
All right, well, when is that on?
Thursday.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, you guys are funny.
Yeah, there was a situation I had to employ my law and order skills in a few days ago.
I think I remember before the show.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah. I think I remember that conversation.
I'm just like, don't worry. I've watched hours and hours of Law and Order.
The school really of Law and Order. Yeah, yeah.
I know it. You really have. Okay, so you know, Michael J. Fox. There's a couple stories about him. One of them was he was, I don't know who he's talking to. Let's just
People Magazine. It was their 50th anniversary issue. He's in that.
So he was talking about, you know, the difference of when he grew up in acting and the difference today.
I love this.
And basically he said, you used to have to be talented to be famous in the 80s.
Get off my lawn.
I know. Totally. You know,
we were tougher. We didn't have social media. He says,
which was easier.
Yes. We didn't have any of that crap. We were just famous, left to our own resources. It was an amazing time. You had to be talented. That did help.
Yeah.
And then he says, we used to bust our butts, our acting muscles, and watch other actors and sit around and talk about acting. And now you've got people who go just like, what's the sweater you're wearing? You should buy that. And they do a dance.
Yeah. 15 minutes of fame. You get that. The reality star is becoming popular.
I mean, you know, it's.
It is what it is.
Yeah. To
every
me.
Every generation can say
to
that.
To me, it would be much harder to try and become a star or famous now with everything, the scrutiny that you have. Whereas before, it seems like, yeah, just go by pure talent. I mean, how long can Insta fame last? Not that long for. So I don't know. I think it would be a lot harder to have all the scrutiny and eyes and all of that than it would be in the good old days that he's talking about, when no one knew what you were doing. And
you have to self-promote, which is super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you have to self-promote yourself to get followers, to even be kind of heard of. I mean, that is uncomfortable.
Some people love it, Julia, but other people probably hate that part of the game, and they wish they could have lived in the olden days.
No cell phones.
Yeah.
Right. Get off my lawn!
Those are the days. Everyone have a good night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.
Wow.